Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I pray that you slept well, no thieves broke in, no fires broke out. Hallelujah, that all is well with you. Thanking God for this day. Thanking God for all of you. And thanking God for so many people in my life. I just thank God for our church service yesterday. The Holy Spirit was, whew, is all I can say. It was a woo moment with the Holy Spirit, which is why it took over our service. It took over the praise team. It was just a great day in the Lord. And all I can say is thank you. And I had nobody that I was actually for in the Super Bowl. I am closest to Kansas, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I was right there with them, thanking God. It was a great game. And Rihanna did not have, she had a great performance as well. It was a good Super Bowl. It was no foolishness. It was just good. And I thought that the pregame was good. Shout out to one of my favorite people, Shirley Ralph, who's my soror, and I just think she is awesome. And she, I cried because I thought she did such a fantastic job with Lift Every Voice and seeing, I thought everything was wonderful. And the country came together for one night, praise the Lord, where there was no ruckus because people were tuned in to the Super Bowl. So great game. To the Chiefs, congratulations. To the Eagles, you played like champions as well. It was a wonderful, wonderful evening. And I got to spend it with my sons, which was also wonderful. So thanking God for just a great day on yesterday. And thanking God for all of you for joining me this morning. There will be a slight pause as I change headsets. So give me just a moment. Thank you so much, family. My one headset is deciding it is not going. It's like that Jennifer Holliday song. And I'm telling you, I'm not going. It is not wanting to disengage. But I hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your patience. Had a little technical difficulty there, changing my headgear, but I'm grateful that you stayed on. Excuse me. And grateful that you are with us today. And all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Whew, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you again on today. Let us pray and let us get started because I got to go to work, y'all. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I thank you. I thank you with my whole heart for giving me another opportunity to do the will that you have, the work you have called me to do. Lord God, may your word touch someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit, God. For you knitted us in our mother's womb, God, for such a time as this. You have given us each a purpose, God. I pray that those that are listening in, that they are walking in their purpose. They are walking in whatever the gifts they have been given, God, that they know they are anointed and appointed for your service, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you chose me. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to come into this world. I thank you, Lord, for another day. And I ask you, Lord, please don't let me waste it or throw it away, God. Let it be productive, God. Let it be productive with you. Let me take you wherever I go. Lord, I ask you to watch over senior citizens today. I ask you to watch over our children as they go to their schools today. Those that go and those that have a day off. I ask you to watch over them, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord God, to change the minds and hearts of those that legislate foolishness, God. You know who they are and you know what they legislate. Lord, I ask you to clean up our state houses, our federal houses, and our homes, God, that we start walking in righteousness. For you are in charge of our lives, God. And all I can say is, Lord, help us. Help us, Father. Help us, God, to be better. And Lord God, as I lift this word up to you today, I ask you as I ask every day, Father, to increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, God. You are my strength. You woke me up this morning. You are my strength. You helped me start my day in your word. You are my strength. You have covered me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet with the blood of Jesus, who is my Redeemer. And he lives in all of us through your Holy Spirit, God. Let your spirit ignite today. Let your spirit go forth today, Lord God. As I decrease, you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. We are in Exodus today. And Moses is given the instructions that he was given by God to build the ark, the temple, and to put everything in place so they can travel. Because they're going to have to be out here for a long time. And so they are building the tabernacle. And Moses is giving all the instruction, and God has put it in the heart of two artisans to just supervise the work, especially Belzeal. Made the ark of the acacia wood, 2.5 cubits was its length. You know, he started this job. He was assigned by God for this task. He was given an anointing to be a builder. And God has put it in so many of the others to be weavers, to be builders, to be artisans. All the things he needs to get this job done, he has placed it in the hearts and the minds of the people that will do the job. So get your Bibles. We are coming this morning out of Exodus chapter 37 to chapter 38. We are coming out of the 22nd Psalm, verses 9 through 15, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 21, and we will be finishing up Matthew chapter 26 this morning. And, Matthew 26 is a powerful word. You know, everything that Jesus says will happen always happens. You know, and the fact is that our title is coming out of chapter 22. And it just touched my heart. And I'm sure that those that listen that are pro-life, that this word will touch you. Because it tells us in this word that God has been with us, even in our womb, in the womb. And I'm going to start today with that. I was going to start with Exodus, but God just put it on my heart to start in the 22nd Psalm this morning. And when I go to the 22nd Psalm, verse 9, it says, "But you are he who took me out of the womb." Whew. He puts us in and he takes us out. "But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. But not far from me," because the word of God tells us that he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. But not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouth like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength dried up, tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." Wow. That is a powerful, powerful word. It's a powerful word. And when we look at this word, we must think about who we are as people, who we are as Christians, who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. God is the one that knits us. God is the one that takes us out. And I'm sorry, God is also the one that allows abortions to happen. He allows murders to happen. He allows death to happen. And it is God that knitted us in the womb. And it is God that takes us out, whether we are taken out because we are miscarried, because God chose to keep our child, or because we made a choice. And for those that made that choice, I pray for you, because I can imagine it was not easy. I will not vilify any woman who has made that awful choice. I will pray and lift you up. Because things happen for reasons, and only God knows them. So I say to all of you, understand, God is the one that's in charge of everything. And when we come into it with the right perspective, God is in charge, that God allows it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. God allows it. And it's to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us love each other. Because I always wonder when we talk about these things, and I didn't know, God, why you put this in my spirit to talk about the horrible thing on abortion. But I always wonder
Where are the fathers in this situation? We vilify these mothers just like the woman caught in adultery brought to Jesus to be stoned. Where was the man in that situation? Because she couldn't have been committing adultery by herself. Where are the men in these situations? We already know that there are some who try to get into politics, who sit outside and make sure that abortions happen. But claim to love the Lord. I always pray for everybody, especially for that child to this world, that it is treated with the love that it deserves. Every child deserves love. So pray for our children today. Pray for every child in this world today. Many are going through, and we need to lift them up that God will put a shield of protection around their minds, their bodies, their souls, that they will not be exploited, they will not be hurt, they will be loved, because they are children of God. Pray for countries that allow child brides. They will stop that horrible practice where babies practically are given in marriage to old, dirty men. And I'm saying it like it. God didn't give me the old, dirty man part. But that's just how it is. I read an article where somewhere in the Middle East, a little 8-year-old was given in marriage and died from internal injuries, marriage to a 40-year-old man. It's disgusting and sick. And we need to pray it out of this world. So pray for our children. Pray for our babies that have been aborted. Because I know where they are there with the Lord. But pray for those mothers that had to make those horrible decisions instead of vilify. Pray instead of vilify. Lift up instead of vilify. Ask God to guide instead of vilify. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. And so I thank God today that he made me to be his child. Hallelujah. That he knitted me in my mama's womb. That I am his daughter. I am his daughter, and I know that he has been the best father I could ever, ever have. Hallelujah. I thank him. I thank him for my earthly father who raised me to be a woman of God and to love myself because he was the best dad I could ever have. I'm not going to say that he didn't discipline because he did. I don't remember any of the spankings I got from my godmother. But my godfather, you better believe, only one. And I never forgot it because he loved me and because I was seriously disobedient and could easily have gotten hurt or something awful could happen because of my disobedience. So I can only say thank you, God, that he didn't spare that rod because I was spoiled. Tell you now, I was. My husband told me all the time, you were so spoiled. And then I would tell him, well, you spoiling me too. So, yes, I was spoiled. But I was loved, and I thank God for it every day. So let's keep going, and we're going to go back, and Exodus will be our last word this morning. God put that in my heart. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8 and forgive the voice today because I was doing a lot of screaming at the Super Bowl, and I didn't know I could sing like a song yesterday. So I am a little hoarse this morning, but I know that I know God is with me, and he is clearing it up as we are speaking. So I just thank God again for this great word. In the word of God in Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 12. And it says, I, wisdom, because remember we've been talking about wisdom all week, last week, and mostly this whole month. Well, since January 1st when we started in Proverbs chapter 1, we've been talking of wisdom. And so it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hate, is to hate evil. Can we say it again? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. I got to read that again. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge, discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign. Come on now, wisdom. And rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles. All the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. Say it again. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revere than choice silver. Our revenue, than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasury. And this is, I love this word, Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And it tells us, as we grow, thank you, Dr. Stanley, as we grow spiritually, we gradually change from trying to stop doing the evil things that we really want to do to actually hating the evil things so that we no longer want to do it. Come on now. If you was one that loved to use profanity and that every filthy word you could think of came out of your mouth, once you get saved, you don't want to even do that anymore. Those words just stop coming. You don't want to be out in those streets anymore. You don't want to drink or smoke or use drugs anymore. You don't want to be a woman or man doing other things you shouldn't do because it just would not feel right. God is in charge, and when we love God and hate evil, everything starts to fall into place in our lives. Don't let the evil one trick you into thinking you got to be of the world to be wealthy. Don't let the evil one trick thinking you got to treat people horribly to be wealthy. Don't let him think that the love of money is all that you want in life. Because we know in the word of God, it tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Wisdom will help you obtain, and it will help you keep. We got to ask God for wisdom before we ask God for anything else. Because wisdom is what will keep you and save your life. Wisdom will keep you from going down that dark street instead of going down the one of light. Wisdom will keep you safe and will save your life, God, for it. And as we get into our New Testament word, and then we'll go back into Exodus and read Exodus. And for those that are just joining us, our Exodus word is Exodus chapter 37 and 38, and that will be the end of the show today. God just gave me something a little different. And when we go over to Matthew, and when we talk about the Lord putting us in our in the mother's womb, the Lord knowing who we are, the Lord, you know, is our absolute, his son, went through some stuff for us. He knitted Jesus in Mary's womb through the Holy Spirit, John in the womb. We all understand that John was the one that prepared the way. He was not, he was a Nazarene. He was everything. He did what he was supposed to do, and he was murdered and martyred because he told the truth. And evil don't like to hear the truth. You don't hear it, yet, you know, hold it, bud. That's your brother's wife, and what you're doing is wrong. And then the wife let the daughter dance. And got the Herod all up, all excited that he pledged to give her this child whatever she wanted, and what she wanted was the head of John the Baptist, and got it. But John, all he asked was Jesus the one, and sent his disciples to find out, and Jesus let them know, yeah, I am. And today, he's standing before these folks that want to kill him because he's trying to change the status quo. Understand that the people that were in the church had sold out to the politicians, had sold out to the world. And this little upstart rabbi, this little upstart coming in and saying that they were wrong and vilifying them and healing the sick and raising the dead and changing things, that, you know, we don't want the Romans to come after us. We trying to get the money. We trying to stay in power. And this little upstart, who they all know for real, because they read the scriptures. They know the word. They know who he is. But we'll choose to lie to ourselves and lie to our congregations that he is the Christ. That he is the prophesied king. That he is the son of God. They were like, we got to deny that. We can't say that. And Peter, Mr. Tough Guy, as we read in yesterday's word, how he told Jesus, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not going to deny you. And, you know, Jesus like, when the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. So look, this is what he said. You know, and it might have been, here it is. And starting at verse 32 of Matthew 26. It says, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble, because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Now let's see what happens. And suddenly, Matthew chapter 26, verse 51, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, because again, going back verse ahead, now we come to the point where Judas comes up and kisses Jesus. And Jesus, like, here, you know, he had been praying and he had been asking God to remove the cup. And this is all yesterday's lesson recap. And it says this in verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he, his betrayer, had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, getting into today's lesson, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then can the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? And understand, if we go into one or the other gospels, Jesus puts the man's ear back and heals him. And it goes in to say, and in that hour Jesus said to the multitude, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Everyone talking about, I ain't going to leave you. I got you. It's like saying, I got you. I got you, Pastor. But soon as something bad happens, you gone. It's like, my name is West. I ain't in this mess. Out. Shoosh. Skedaddled. Gone. And I think that's kind of an old lady word. Skedaddle. But anyway, they was out. Couldn't find one of the other disciples. Peter, though, he walking back. You know, Mr. Tough Guy. So let's see what happens. Let's keep it going. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony. Anyway, got out there and got all the liars together. Those that didn't mind lying on somebody. Those that didn't mind bringing false witnesses. I'm sure that there are those that have experienced the liars out there in their lives who don't mind coming in saying, well, you know she said this and that, or he said this or that. Or you know he did this. You know, well, I saw it. I saw him coming out of, you know, whatever. No, just lying. So the liars came out. And we all know that that is against the top 10. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And that one of them, I think, yeah, number like 7 or 8. You know, I think it's now probably about 6 or 7. But thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I believe that's what it says. But here we go. The false witness is coming forward. Because, of course, when somebody's putting some money in your pocket, you don't mind telling a lie. Those that are not honest people to begin with. A liar is a liar, and that is not who you want as your friend. It says, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Come on now. Nobody. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Now understand, they taking what Jesus said, but putting it in a different context. And so the high priest, now he hot. You know, you're going to tear down the temple and put it back in 3 days. You know, you can hear you can see the neck rolling and the eyes bugging and all of this foolishness. And then the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is these men testimony? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent because he's looking at these folks like, y'all just don't know who I am. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. They pulled the guard card on me. Bam, I'm pulling the guard card. I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. When he pulled the God card, that's when Jesus spoke. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. In other words, I'm coming back. But you won't see me again until that time. And now the high priest is having a moment. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death, which they was going to do in the first place. This is all a big fake, and they were already going to put him to death. They had already made a decision that they were going to kill him, and now they got to get the people behind it. Again, if you tell a lie, more and more, till that lie goes into that circle, eventually that lie becomes somebody's truth. And it goes on to say, then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Okay. That hand going to fall off that struck him. Come on now, quit thinking you all that, because you up there with the high priest, so you think you can just beat this poor man. Because you, oh, he lying. Y'all know he's not. You know the high priest is special. And those that are totally know the word of God knew that he was telling the truth. But they also knew that if they allowed him to come into his kingdom, to come into his power, that it would mess it up for them. Liars don't want the truth to come out. Those that are in high places don't want truth to be spoken. They will stick with a lie even when they know the truth. We have seen it played out on our television screens. We have seen it played out when people went to the highest seat in the nation, to the Congress of the United States, and tried to insert an insurrection happened a year ago, January 6th, because somebody decided they did not like the outcome. 2 years ago, the outcome of an election. So we understand a lie told many, many, many times can cause people to believe it. And this is what happened. They beat up Jesus, beat him up. And now Peter's outside. And now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you are also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Second time now. He didn't deny. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Third time. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said, Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Three times. He denied him. You with him? No, don't know him. You with him? No, I don't know him. You with him? No, I don't know him. And don't expletive. Say that I do. He just cussed. You know, he cursed them out and swore, saying, I don't know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Because when you know you're done wrong, you can't do nothing more than cry. Ask for forgiveness. We got to ask daily for forgiveness. But we all are sinful. We all do stuff that we regret. We all have said things we shouldn't have said. Because we are not perfect like Christ. We live and we try to do better. And that's all we can do is try to do better, to live better, to walk a righteous life, and let God work in us. And it goes on to tell us, denying Christ, Matthew 26:69-75. And for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. That is our signature Bible for this year. It was our Bible we used last year and part of 2021. And all I can say is this Bible is awesome. Dr. Stanley is a true man of God. You feel it in the words that he writes. You know it whenever you see him. You can feel, even from your television screen, the Spirit of God just emanates from this man. And I am grateful that he wrote the commentary for this Bible. It has changed my life. And I can only say thank you, Dr. Stanley. And, you know, in this life example, he tells us, when we read about Peter's denial of Christ, we may be tempted to feel a little self-righteous. Come on now. After all, Peter walked with Christ for 3 years. How could he possibly refuse his friend and rabbi? How could he turn away from the one he called the Christ, the Son of the living God? Matthew 16:16. True, the situation was very tense. And we can understand why Peter would be fearful, yet he completely disavowed knowing the Lord Jesus. His denial strikes us as wrong to the very core of our being. We're sure we would never deny our Savior in such a terrible way. Again, if you were in his situation, you just saw this crowd of folks from the high priest. So these were like nobodies. These were somebodies. And you knew that you could also be killed because you were not Christ. And so you denied knowing it because you were trying to preserve your life. Come on now. But the thing is, Peter had been the one doing all the boasting. The other folks didn't say, It's like, you know, in the neck, I got your back. They weren't the ones saying that. It was Peter. Because when the going got tough, the tub got going. They was gone. But Peter did stick by to see what was going to happen. But, you know, he felt convicted when that rooster crowed. The conviction hit him. I did exactly what he said I would do. And it broke him. It broke him down. Because it broke him because he loved Jesus. And he was one of his best friends. He just wanted to make, it would break you down. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Yet before we condemn Peter's actions, we must take a long look at ourselves. Come on now. How often do we doubt that God will help us in a difficult situation? How often do we avoid the subject of religion so that we will not have to tell people we're Christians? How often do we indulge in sins and are clearly prohibited in God's word? Though Peter denied Christ in a way that was loud and public, we may deny Christ in hundreds of smaller ways every day. So we must ask ourselves, how often do I deny Christ's existence in my own life? We know that Peter was devastated by his actions, Matthew 26:75. We also know that later he would completely change his attitude about being Christ's representative. In 1 Peter 4:14-16, he tells us, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Peter rejoiced that he was counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5:41. We must also allow the Holy Spirit to make that change in us. We must come to the place where Christ comes first in every area of our life, no matter what the consequences. Are you their friend? Will you continue to deny Christ with your actions like Peter? You must make your choice. The Savior is waiting. Jesus is waiting. We must make choices. Whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you going through that narrow gate or are you following the crowd? That's just a personal thing that you must decide. It is not anybody's choice but yours. Again, God gives us choice. It is man that wants to tell us what to do. We got to do what the Lord says do. Because when you do what the Lord says do, you're going to do the right thing. Exodus 37. Then Belshazzar made the ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits was its length. 1.5 cubits its width. And 1.5 cubits its height. He overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside. And made a molding of gold all around it. And he cast it 4 rings of gold to be set in its 4 corners, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side of it. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the poles into the rings of the sides of the ark to bear the ark. He also made the mercy seat of pure gold. 1.5 cubits was its length and 1.5 cubits its width. He made 2 cherubim of beaten gold. He made them of 1 piece of 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherubim at 1 end and this side on this side. And the other cherubim on the other end on that side. He made the cherubim at the 2 ends and 1 piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim spread out their wings above and covered the mercy seat. With their wings they faced one another. And the faces of the cherubim were toward the mercy seat. He made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold all around it. Also, he made a frame of the hand breadth all around it and made a molding of gold for the frame and all around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold and put the rings on the 4 corners that were at its 4 legs. The rings were close to the frame at holders for the poles to bear the table. And he made the poles of acacia wood to bear the table and overlaid them with gold. He made of pure gold and the utensils which were on the table, its dishes, its cups, its bowls, and its pitchers for pouring. He also made the lampstand of pure gold. Of hammered work he made the lampstand. Its shaft, ornamental knobs, and its flowers were the same piece. And 6 branches came out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There were 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made of like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself were 4 bowls made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There was a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches extending from it. Their knobs and their branches were of 1 piece. All of it was 1 hammered piece of pure gold. And he made it 7 lamps in wick trimmers and its trays of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold, he made it with all its utensils. He made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was 1 cubit and its width 1 cubit. It was square and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of 1 piece with it. And he overlaid it with pure gold, its top, its sides, all around, and its horns. He also made for it a molding of gold all around it. He made 2 rings of gold for it under its molding by its 2 corners on both sides as holders for the poles with which to bear it. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. Chapter 38 of Exodus. He made the altar of burnt offerings of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length and 5 cubits its width. It was square and its height was 3 cubits. He made its horns. On its 4 corners, the horns were 1 piece with it. and he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pans, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. All his utensils he made of bronze, and he made a grate of bronze network for the altar under its rim midway from the bottom. He cast four rings of four corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles, and he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. Then he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar with which to bear it. He made the altar hollow with boards. He made the lever of bronze and its face of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he made the court on the south side. The hangings of the court were of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long. There were 20 pillars for them and 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillars and the bands were silver. On the north side of the hangings were 100 cubits long with 20 pillars and their 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were silver. And on the west side, there was hangings of 50 cubits with 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were silver. For the east side, the hangings were 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate were 10 cubits long and their three pillars and their three sockets. And the same for the other side of the court gate. On this side and that were hangings of 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three sockets. All of the hangings of the court all around were of fine woven linen. The sockets for the pillars were bronze. The hooks for the pillars and their bands were silver. And the overlay of the capitals were silver. And all the pillars of the court and band of silver. The screen for the gate of the court was woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. And of fine woven linen. The length was 20 cubits, and the height along its width was 5 cubits, corresponding to the hangings of the court. And there were four pillars with their four sockets of bronze. Their hooks were silver, and overlay of their capitals and their bands were silver. All the pegs of the tabernacle of the court all around were bronze. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. Barizel, the son of Ur, the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And with him was Eliab, the son of Eshemach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer, a weaver of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine linen, all the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary at Bekah for each man. That is a half of a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary for everyone included in the numbering from 20 years old and above for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil. 100 sockets from the 100 talents, 1 talent for each socket. And from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capital, and made bands for them. The offering of bronze was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels, and with it he made the sockets for the doors of the tabernacle of meetings, the bronze altar, the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils for the altar. The sockets for the court all around, the bases for the court gate, all the pegs for the tabernacle, and all the pegs for the court all around. And a couple of life lessons from chapter 37, verse 1. Then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. The ark of the covenant was essentially a wooden chest covered with pure gold that contained the law of God. It disappeared from the biblical record before the Babylonian captivity. Whether it is hidden or destroyed is not generally known.
are taken up by God. We don't know where the ark is. There are those that say that it is in Ethiopia, but we don't know for sure. Exodus 38:21. This is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses, and gifts and items of material worth that help his people to effectively worship in a corporate setting. Jesus carefully observed what went into the temple treasury, Mark 12:41. And again, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. We got to pay our tithe. That's just a covenant that we make with God. So don't shortchange God by not paying your tithe. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, if there's any that has a word, now is the time to push that number one on your line, 213-943-3597. Is our number. And again, God has already told us what he wants us to do. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, good morning. If you allow the enemy to shut you up, he can also shut you down. Open your mouth and raise the praise. Have a marvelous Monday. And we all understood that is exactly what happened to Peter. He could not say it. Who he was. He kept denying, one denial after another. But we all understand that he repented, and so must we. And our word for today from our 365 days of prayer for life, let you in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. O God, search out my heart and my mind, looking right into the core of every matter. You see the worries furrowed across my brow and the questions I wrestle with on a consistent basis. You don't pretend to not see what is circling in my thoughts. I don't need to hide them from you. When I don't know how to form a prayer about these things, hear my heart and answer the cries that remain under the surface in your wisdom. Give driven answers. Give divine answers and solutions to problems that cannot be solved by my own logic. I know the mark of your move in my life. It always feels like peace and looks like something better than I could know how to ask for. Today, let your word breathe peace into my mind, calming and dispelling anxious thoughts. Let the swirl of worry be calmed like bodies of water about a storm after a storm. Thank you for your kind care of me. In every season, I love you. And the question for today, can you give God control of your thoughts today, inviting him into that space to bring peace to worries and anxieties? And again, know who you are. Know who you belong to. Know who knitted you in the womb. Know that you are a child of God. And as our words, as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. As our word for today says, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. Let God continue to be your God, watching over you and being with you. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap because your host has got to go to work. Love you all. Have a great and wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Be blessed. It's a wrap.